to Activity Quest, the podcast that's packed with stuff to do. And this episode is out of this world. In it, Sam's looking at the stars and planets and telling us how to track the lot using a very special photography technique. And Adam is chatting to artist Luke Jerram all about how you can see Earth from the perspective of an astronaut. Plus, we've got events from across the country and loads more. Now, episodes of Activity Quest always start with a fun kids presenter getting out and about and discovering what's happening near you. This time, though, we're looking at something you can do wherever you are, and it all starts with Adam getting a very special parcel.
The postie has just been and delivered a very special parcel. And inside here are 1, 2, 3, 4... There's the last one. 5 solar cans. This is Sam. Sam is the founder of Solar Can, and he's going to tell us what they are.
I'll put it into a sentence, although we're going to have to take this apart a bit later. It's an extreme time exposure camera capable of capturing the path of the sun over days, weeks, months, or years. Simple as that.
Each solar can comes in a cardboard tube. I suppose that's sort of its packaging. And if we just open it up here, inside the lid, I've got 2 cable ties. Then there's the can itself. I wish you could have seen that. I just sort of whipped it out. There's the can itself. It looks like a drinks can, like a tall kind of 500 milliliter drinks can. I've also got a booklet in here. Your solar can instruction booklet. Sam, tell us, what do we do?
Okay, so solar can looks like a traditional aluminium drinks can. It's a 440 mil silver looking vessel with a ring pull on top, which you don't touch, and it's incredibly simple to use. You simply go outside, find somewhere suitable that is south facing, so facing towards the southerly direction where the sun passes, and using the cable ties that come with it inside the lid, you attach it to a drain pipe or a fence post or something that's suitable, perhaps a tree or a post that you stick in the ground, or a window frame. I could carry on going all day here. And you remove the black tab that's on the solar can and it will reveal a little pinhole, and that's all you do. Then you leave it for 1 week, 1 month, 6 months, a year, and you let the sun do its work, and the sun will create some, as you say, some magic inside the solar can and capture an image on the photographic paper inside.
And what does that image look like after all of those months?
The image that you'll finally get will reveal on the top portion of this photograph the sun's path passing through the sky, and these will be visible as a line, an unbroken line, as it goes from the left-hand side of the image to the right-hand side of the image. However, they won't all be a straight line like that, because living in the UK, we get a lot of cloud here, and suddenly sometimes very, very cloudy days. And sometimes that line, the sun's path, will be dotted where we've had slightly cloudy days, or won't be visible at all when we've had a complete cloud cover day. What makes it really interesting is it shows the seasons of the sun. So in the summer, the sun is very, very high in the sky. So the lines carving their way over the top of the image will be during the summer. But as it approaches the winter, they'll be getting very, very close to the horizon. And in the foreground, you'll have any bright images or any bright reflective surfaces that might be in the foreground or on the vista.
Okay, you and me right now, listener, we are in the Forest of Dean. It's a place that is, well, essentially a massive forest. And we are miles away from anyone and anything. And we're about to place another... There's a fly in my hair. We're about to place another solar can. To be clear, you do not have to go to this level of extreme. In fact, I was delivered 5 solar cans. I have placed 2 in cities, 2 in villages. But I thought I'd place one out here. I don't know. Why not? Why not? I think that's the joy of this form of photography. It's just, you know, a bit of experimentation, isn't it? And we're going to walk you through now exactly how I affix these cans. Basically, I'm going to take my cable ties and I'm going to wrap them around. And then I'm going to get my can, slide the can through the cable ties, like so. Pull. Until it's tight. You don't want to crush the can. And once we're good, cut the long plastic trailing ends off. Peel. There's a little black tab here. We're going to peel the black tab up and off. If I can get my finger underneath it, there we go. And there we are. Our image is exposing, and that is now making an image. And we'll come back in 6 months and see what we got.
I think the coolest thing about this is that it blends art, as in taking a photograph, getting creative, and science. The paper inside the can is light sensitive. We've got some astronomy going on with the arc of the sun, maybe even some meteorology with the weather. And I think the thing that might surprise a lot of people with this camera is that there is no lens, there is no shutter button, there's no screen. So how is an image actually made from just a sheet of paper and a hole in a can?
Good question. Well, in the olden days when we used to take photographs that weren't on digital cameras like you've got in your phone nowadays or your digital SLR, we used to have things called film and photographic paper. Now this uses some of that material but in a slightly different way, and a much simpler way in fact. In the olden days we used to take photographic paper into a dark room to project an image onto it to make a photographic image that we could take out into the open after doing some chemical hokery pokery and making something look really nice. Now, what we do is we take that photographic paper and instead of applying any additional chemicals or anything like that to it, we keep it as it is, and we let something called solarization take place on that photographic paper. Now, let me give you another example. When you take photographic paper out of the dark room and you haven't treated it, or you haven't kept it in a black bag or a dark bag, it will get ruined immediately because the sunlight or any additional light will shine onto that photographic paper and discolor it. Now, what we want to do is by placing it inside the solar can and putting a pinhole there, we are controlling that discoloration of the photographic paper. So the sun's light passes through the pinhole in the front of the solar can and hits a tiny little spot on the photographic paper inside. And as the sun moves, it slowly draws that line around the photographic paper. So slightly different from a traditional style of photograph, this is actually burning a line across the photographic paper, which is how we eventually get that image over several months. Hope that makes a bit more sense.
It definitely does. You are the founder of SolarCan. You must have done hundreds of these kinds of images. So you, Sam, are our expert. Is there anything that when I go out and do my ones, or a listener goes out and does theirs, give us some tips. What is there anything that is going to get me some really good results? Anything I should definitely do or try?
I wish I had the manual with me. I wish I had one in front of me. Inside every little solar can package, there's a little retail box, and there's a manual inside with 16 pages. And towards the back is a list of 8 tips and tricks that I've put there for people to try out and try different things. I'm going to try and remember some of them off the top of my head. Reflections is a good thing. So the only thing that gets caught on these images, and I'm sure you'll have a look online to see sort of examples, is the sun, things as bright as the sun, and nothing else is as bright as the sun. The only thing that comes close to it is reflections of the sun. So if there's any windows or water or cars maybe that reflect sun's light very well, they will appear in the image as long as they're in the field of the view that the solar can is capturing. So that's one thing I'd like to recommend. Find reflective surfaces nearby. Another is try and orientate your solar can different directions, because you might get some zany, slightly creative, artistic images that could be very abstract in form. What other things? A really difficult one that we set tasks, which is probably too difficult to even mention, is try and capture solar eclipse, which has been done several times since we launched SolarCam, which is very exciting. But these are just single day exposures where you've managed to capture the path of the sun during a day where a solar eclipse takes place, and the sun will slowly vanish, then come back again as that line.
So by far the easiest way of getting started and having a go at this technique is by buying one of your pre-made cameras. They're called SolarCans. Tell us how we do that.
Oh, just visit the website, solarcan.co.uk, and they are there. You can buy singles or five packs or SolarCan colours, which is an additional three-pack product. And they're very, very inexpensive. Just pop down and have a look. And we ship daily. And I think we're on number 14,000 at the moment. So they are gaining in popularity and doing very well, which is nice for us here, because we're spreading the love of SolarCan and this type of art and science.
Thanks, Adam, and thanks to Sam for chatting to us too. SolarCan.co.uk is the place to find out more about solography and to get your hands on your very own SolarCan camera. And remember, whatever you do, whether it's snapping a pic of the sun or something else entirely, we want to know. You can tell us by leaving a 5-star review wherever it is you're listening to this, or get in touch at funkidslive.com/activityquest. All right, here's what else is happening across the UK.
It's Sean here on Activity Quest, and we've got a load of exciting events to tell you about, as is on brand for Activity Quest, as is our personal quest to tell you about great activities. Starting off with Dan and Bex, who are live on stage in London this summer at the Underbelly Festival. Their shows are going to be taking place on Friday, August the 27th, and Saturday, the 28th of August. The shows are Bex's show, Bookworms Live, which is based on her amazing podcast about books. She's going to have some awesome authors on stage with her, and her show is going to be taking place on Saturday the 28th. And on Friday the 27th, gone beautifully chronologically here, the Science Weekly Live is going to be on stage. Dan is going to be hosting with some amazing experiments and daring stunts. I'm excited to see what kind of daring stunts Dan is going to pull out here. So these two shows are happening as part of the Underbelly Festival in London, which has got loads of other fun, awesome things going on as well. So you need to go and check it out. And if you wish to do so, underbellyfestival.com is the place to go to book. London Wetland Wildlife Trust are welcoming back brick animals this summer. That's it, brick animals. I did not misspeak. And this ain't no trick either. These animals are made out of Lego. It's the UK's only collection of wetland animals made out of Lego. And over 250,000 Lego bricks were used to make them. That's loads. So there are 14 characters to discover. They're all inspired by real species across the Wetland Wildlife Trust centres. Go to wwt.org.uk to find out more on that one. And online, you can take a virtual tour around the Museum of London Galleries to hear some stories behind some well-known video games and their characters. Immediately interested in this. It's a new exhibition that's called Game City, and along the way you can take in some of the museum's own video game collection, from like the early text-based games that your nan used to play to some more familiar retro favourites as well. And as you journey through the museum's galleries, you can hear some of the real stories behind your favourite games and see some of the incredible artefacts that inspired them. Tickets are only £7, and you can go to museumoflondon.org.uk to get access. And the latest issue of BBC Match of the Day magazine is the one you've all been waiting for. It's the Premier League kickoff special. There's a guide to every single top flight team with their star players, strongest lineups, and sick new signings all previewed. And that's not all. There's also an awesome look at the new EFL season, a SWID PS4 competition, and part one of an epic wall chart and league ladder set included for every reader to stick on the wall. You can become a part of the BBC Match of the Day magazine squad and this awesome issue right now.
Remember to check before you travel and book in advance where you can, and whatever you do, tell them Activity Quest sent you. All right, are you ready for this next bit? Because famous author Cressida Cowell is getting in on our Fun Kids Summer Challenge. We've been asking famous people to set you a challenge every week this summer. She's the author of Wizards of Once and the How to Train Your Dragon series. And today, Cressida, one of my favourite people ever, who's been on the show loads on Fun Kids, is setting you this.
The Fun Kids Summer Challenge!
Hi, Fun Kids Radio listeners. I'm Cressida Cowell, author and illustrator of the How to Train Your Dragon books and the Wizards of Once series. I've been told to give you a challenge for the summer holidays. My challenge is Free Writing Friday. How about a book? Why don't you keep a book all holiday in which you can write whatever you want? You can draw pictures, you can make up your own dragon, you can make up your own magical creatures, you can make up your own jokes, you can draw a picture of your imaginary place and write a story about it. It's whatever you want to do. You keep your own book.
Oh, big thank you to Cressida. She is amazing. She's just so much fun. Now give that a go and tell us how you get on at funkidslive.com. All right, now, when we last heard from Adam at the start of the episode, remember that? Yeah? Yeah? Good. He had his feet planted on planet Earth very firmly, but I think this time he's floating above it. We're going to hear from him and an artist called Luke Jerram all about a very special phenomenon.
Apollo 8, this is Houston. It's a good picture of the horizon. We can't see many terrain features as yet. Apollo 8 Houston, we're beginning to pick up a few craters very dimly. The whole thing is pretty bright.
The overview effect is a mental shift that happens when people see Earth from afar. It's usually experienced by astronauts, and it's a realization that everything we've ever known originated on our planet, and the Earth is just a tiny spinning rock floating in the middle of darkness.
Apollo 8 Houston, we want to take the beam.
It was the fourth orbit when we finally came to a position where we saw the Earth.
Film, Jim.
And then Anders asked me for colored film.
Give me a roll of color film.
Oh,
Jim.
Man, that's great.
Quick.
Yeah, I've got it right here.
You know,
I got it framed. It's very clear right here.
And Anders does take, I guess, several pictures. And I say, 250 at F11.
Oh, I got it right. Oh, that's a beautiful shot.
And as Anders takes the pictures, one of them, as we learn, after we get back home, became a very famous one.
When we launched, after about 25 hours of climbing up away from the Earth towards the moon, I started taking pictures. We separated from Saturn. We were able to turn around and get a view of the Earth. You could almost see it retreating. It's like a kid watching his clock in the school, you know, the hand. Then you look away and it's moved a little bit. So I took a picture of the full Earth, the first full Earth man color shot, which is my favorite picture. And it showed immediately, you know, that the Earth was very pretty, very delicate. It was nothing but blackness around it. But it sure showed that the Earth was a very beautiful, but quite fragile place.
Yeah, my name is Luke Jerram, and I work as an artist. I've got a studio in Bristol, in England, and I've been making artwork now for about 25 years. And the artwork I make is presented in the UK, but also all around the world as well. And some of the artwork I make involves combining arts with science and engineering. And recently, I've made a couple of artworks that have been particularly popular. And one is a replica of the moon, and the other one is a replica of the Earth, which slowly turns. And it's a sculpture called Gaia, and Gaia is the Greek personification of the Earth. So it's like an Earth goddess is Gaia. And so, yeah, I've been touring these artworks in different places around the world for the last few years now.
Now, Luke, as well as an artist, you are a fellow of the Royal Astronomical Society. You're a visiting fellow of the Faculty of Health and Applied Sciences at UWE. In fact, you've got a whole list of awards. Is space and science something that you've always been interested in?
I suppose as an artist, I'm interested in exploring phenomena. So I'm interested in how things work. As a kid, I was one of those kids who would take apart a radio or a television to see what was inside, and then you'd try and put it back together again, and it would never quite work properly. But so I'm also interested in how things work, and scientists and engineers are often interested in those questions as well. And I'm also colourblind, so as an artist that's quite difficult, if you can imagine. But that colourblindness has given me an interest in visual perception. And I'm also interested in scale. So some of the artworks I make are sculptures of viruses. So these are glass sculptures, and they're like a million times bigger than the actual virus. But I've also made the sculptures of like the moon, which is half a million times smaller than the actual moon. So I'm interested in scale and how we perceive it, how we feel when we stand next to a miniature sculpture of the moon that's actually really big.
All of us are wired to appreciate natural beauty, if you will. And
first saw Planet Earth from space.
Anybody at any time in history, any culture,
until during the launch, outside the atmosphere of Earth.
Even though you've seen the Earth through these pictures,
and we were over the Pacific Ocean, and just looking at that gorgeous blue.
If you look at an ocean or a mountain or a beautiful forest,
dotted with white clouds and the black of space.
These pictures, when you look at the Earth, this impossibly blue planet. These pictures,
dotted with white clouds and the black of space.
I mean, everybody appreciates that. I mean, it hits us fairly deep. We're wired that way.
And just looking at that gorgeous blue.
This impossibly blue planet and this impossibly black sky just kind of hanging out there. It is really, really breathtaking. And when you see your planet that way, and it's sum total from space,
even if you're a tough person, you can't avoid becoming a child again.
We're wired that way.
So let's focus on Gaia then, which is this Earth sculpture. You're in your studio in Bristol and you say to yourself, okay, I want to make a giant Earth. And let's make no mistake, this is huge. I saw it at Gloucester Cathedral earlier in the year. It filled the entire venue. First of all, how big is it? And how on earth do you start? What's that process like of making that artwork?
Yeah, so the Earth is made of high-resolution NASA imagery. So you've got to think about how, you know, I want to make something as accurate as I can. So I went to NASA and managed to get some high-definition sort of photographs. The sculpture I've made is 7 meters in diameter. And it's suspended from the ceiling of spaces. So when you saw it in Gloucester Cathedral, it was hanging in the cathedral. And it's on a motor. So it's a sphere, and it's 7 meters in diameter, and it looks like the Earth. It's on a motor that makes it slowly turn as well. And yeah, it's basically a balloon with imagery printed onto the outside of it. And then there's a light inside the balloon that makes it illuminate and glow at night. And in a darkened space, it feels like you're an astronaut, perhaps, looking down at the Earth from space and looking at its beauty and its wonder. And it's very contemplative and very beautiful. But it took me sort of six or seven months to make something like that.
And it invokes this thing called the overview effect. Do you mind just telling us what that actually is?
So the overview effect is a phenomenon that astronauts have reported ever since people first went into space. And it's this idea of when you look down at the Earth from space and you suddenly become slightly overwhelmed by its beauty and its wonder. And astronauts have always reported this sort of sense of being overwhelmed by the beauty and the wonder of the Earth when they look down at the Earth for the first time. And when astronauts return to the planet, when they return to land, return to Earth, they often become environmental campaigners. So it does have a profound effect on them to be able to see the Earth as this blue marble floating in the blackness of space. And so, yeah, that's kind of what the overview effect is. And the artwork I've made, this Gaia, this Earth replica, I was hoping to sort of create a sense of what that overview effect might be like, to allow people to imagine that they're floating in space, looking down at the Earth from above.
We don't have time to sit on our hands as our planet burns. For young people, climate change is bigger than election or re-election. It's life or death. It will take radical action to save us. It will take radical action to save us.
Nature is one of the most exciting, amazing, and incredible things in the whole world. Everything's unique in nature, nothing's identical. And every single bit of it's like a complete wonder. Loads of things in nature actually keep us alive. It has loads of things that humans need in it. If the environment's not looked after, then nature can get destroyed, and if nature gets destroyed, humans get destroyed.
One of the main ways that they can actually, you know, see and appreciate your artwork is by seeing it in person. I know that there are several Earths, several moons touring all at once. Where's the best place for people to find out where they can pop to a venue near them and see them?
Yeah, so if you Google Luke and an artist, you'll find my website, which is lukejerram.com. And on there is a list of all the venues that the Earth and the Moon are touring to. I've got a Mars artwork as well. And they're being presented in churches, in cathedrals, in art centres, in festivals, all around the world. So hopefully there'll be an artwork coming to you. We try to reach everyone with these artworks. So these are exhibitions not just taking place in London, they're taking place in all towns and cities all around the country. So, and often we try to make them free for people to visit as well.
LukeJerram.com is Luke's website. That is Luke, J-E-R-R-A-M. There you go. The music and the voices you heard laced through that piece is a composition for Gaia made by award-winning composer Dan Jones. I know, right? Pretty fancy. All right, that's pretty much it for today. We've given you some stuff to do, and now it's your turn to go and do it. Mm-hmm, yes, that was the deal. I make the podcast, you do the stuff. Remember, there's loads of episodes of Activity Quest that you can go back and listen to anytime you like. If you're after some more suggestions, just scroll back through the podcast app and pick an episode you fancy. And remember, whatever you do, and however you do it, tell us at funkidslive.com/activityquest. And remember to rate, review, and follow this podcast wherever it is you're listening to it. I'm Bex, and this has been a podcast from the UK's children's radio station, Fun Kids. Listen to me on your DAB digital radio, online, on the free Fun Kids mobile app, and on your smart speaker. Just say, play Fun Kids every weekday from 4 p.m. See you then. Bye.
The Space Programme is a Baffled Gab production for the UK's children's radio station, Fun Kids. You can listen to Fun Kids all day on your DAB digital radio, on your smart speaker by saying play Fun Kids, and on the free Fun Kids mobile app. You can also listen online and play loads of games, quizzes, as well as find out the latest news at funkidslive.com.